Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Hear me.
Hear this.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, August 2, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 560 of the Biden-Harris administration, 97 days until the 22 midterms. I'm on Instagram. My handle is TheBobSeska. Lots of funny videos. Everyone loves funny videos on my Instagram. Twitter, BobSeska_go. Patreon is BobSeskaShow.com. And you can follow Buzz Burbank at Michael J. Elston on Twitter. Link in the description. And, of course, he's sitting right over there.
When you say Buzz Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've said it all.
Hi.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's not how Herschel Walker explained it.
Hi. Welcome to
Tuesday. Bob.
Yes.
Hi, everybody. Yes, it is Tuesday. He's Bob. Mm-hmm. I'm Buzz. And we're just trying not to piss off Jon Stewart.
Rule to live by.
Be smart. Uh-huh. How about that $1 billion lottery winner, huh?
Yeah,
wow. That winner now has more money than either the very talented Bono or the very talented Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, the lottery winner also has a talent, holding up the line at 7-Eleven. I don't know what I did. I did something with my phone over the weekend. I'm fiddling with it, you know, and suddenly all these text messages came pouring in.
Yeah.
From the Secret Service.
Oh, no.
And naturally, I panicked and accidentally deleted them. So you can see how that might happen.
You too?
Joe Manchin gave us a brief Senate majority and agreed to vote yes on a big climate and health care bill. How about that, huh?
Yeah, nice.
And then he went right back to eating kittens. Donald Trump has now buried his first wife, Ivana, near the first tee of his New Jersey golf course. You know what's even stranger than that?
What's that?
Melania is already re-landscaping it. And that merry prankster, Matt Gaetz, has been caught on tape offering Roger Stone a pardon, but also revealing classified information.
Jesus.
That Matt Gaetz, I'm telling you, one of these days, that guy's going to get in trouble.
Fingers crossed.
I just know it. I also see in the news one of America's best airlines, JetBlue, has just bought one of our worst airlines, Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The new combined company will be called Mediocre.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
From Cato, it's Louie Gohmert on the dark side of the moon.
Louie!
It's all your favorite Gohmert moon songs.
He's a hick.
Louie Gohmert's dark side of the moon.
Go on back to East Texas where you can kick some shit.
This one is psychedelic. You'll get almost as spaced out as Louie.
Is there anything that the National Forest Service can do? To change the course of the moon's orbit or the Earth's orbit around the sun.
Horrible white man, white man, white man, white man.
I would have to follow up with you on that one, Mr. Gohmert.
Louis Gohmert on the dark side of the moon.
And his brain is eclipsed. And the Gohmert's obsessed with the moon.
From K-Town, now available at Gohmert.
Ain't no dark side of the moon. As a matter of fact, it's all asparagus.
Okay.
Wow.
Rocky Mountain Mike, Rocky MNT, and Mike on Twitter.
I love that.
Yeah, you know what? This is one I completely forgot about. I was like, oh, that is hilarious. Why don't I remember that from playing it in the past? Speaking of Louis Gohmert, I guess yes. We have to lead with the most important story impacting our globe, impacting humanity right now.
I know.
There's a big police crackdown on aggressive monkeys in Yamaguchi, Japan.
Oh, dear.
And what makes this story funny is not necessarily that they're running around snatching babies, apparently, these aggressive monkeys in Yamaguchi, Japan. It's this news report from WGN, Channel 9 in Chicago, about the aggressive monkeys in Yamaguchi, Japan. A couple things in this that make me laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. Okay,
a city in Japan is on the lookout after dozens of people have been attacked by monkeys. Look at this picture. 58 people have been attacked in the city of Yamaguchi in just the past couple of weeks. The monkeys have targeted mostly children, babies, and the elderly.
Sure.
The city has hired people to hunt them down with tranquilizer guns. Mm. I guess traps don't work because the monkeys are not interested in food. Just violence. Residents are advised.
Okay, hang on, I gotta stop it right there. They're not interested in food.
Just violence.
One of many things they have in common with the Red Hats, right?
Exactly,
Trump supporters.
Exactly.
Yes, let's continue.
To avoid eye contact, and they say make yourself look big.
Oh my
god. If you
gosh.
Come across a monkey. What's
it's so scarier than a bear.
Are you kidding?
That was kind of the rule. When I first signed on as an intern for the Don and Mike show, I was instructed not to make eye contact with Don and or Mike.
Oh, my. It does not surprise me, but I did not know that.
Just violence.
Just violence.
Most terrifying script.
What is going on? Look at it peering through the window. I'm coming for you.
Mm-hmm. Try to avoid eye contact now.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
La-di-da, la-di-da.
Local news never disappoints.
A pox on those monkeys.
Here we go.
Yeah, no, that's they'll tear your arm. They'll tear your eyes out. Those are. They can be very vicious.
Oh, yeah.
Be afraid of the monkeys.
According to the Associated Press, nearly 60 people in Yamaguchi have been attacked since July 8 by the deranged monkeys, which have broken into nursery schools and mainly attack small children and the elderly. The animals aren't interested in food. They're interested in violence.
Violence, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So trapping them has proven difficult. City officials have said the monkeys, which are Japanese macaque monkeys, tend to sneak up on people from behind.
Sure. You can't hear them coming. They grab you from behind and rip your eyes out.
Yeah, and you can't break free because monkeys are strong.
Yeah, they have little, sharp nails.
And they eat old people's medicine for fuel. I mean, that's...
I'm sure. You know, we have monkeys in Florida. We have, and there have been cases where people have been attacked. It's rare, but I don't know, like in the 50s or something, guys came down here and set up little wild animal parks that people could go through on a boat or whatever. And some joker brought in monkeys, and now they're all over parts of the state. I haven't seen any in my area, but apparently we have a good population of monkeys here, and you have to watch out for them when you're in those necks of the woods.
Yeah, those monkeys are more commonly referred to as Florida Man.
Yeah.
In news headlines, right?
Also known as Ron DeSantis. He's Florida Man now.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, in all seriousness, a bunch of big stories here today to cover. I think one story that's getting kind of ignored, which is strange, given how angry we all are about the fact that the Supreme Court decided this Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade and all the subsequent madness and horrors that will come out of that. Well, there's a vote which we talked about last Tuesday, but it's important to bring it up again. They are doing a vote today to decide whether abortion will be legal in Kansas. Now, this is a ballot initiative that the citizens, the voters of Kansas, will be participating in. So
And it's very rare, by the way.
Yeah.
I think I should mention it's very rare for a ballot question to appear on a primary ballot.
Yes.
Usually those are reserved for a general election when more people are voting. Fewer people are voting this time, and Republicans in Kansas are quite motivated to get this confusing bill passed.
Yes. And in fact, James Carville has said that the vote today, August 2nd, 2022,
right,
on reproductive rights is the most consequential vote in the past 30 years.
It's true.
And they add here in Mediaite, it doesn't take a political genius to figure out why. The outcome of the vote doesn't just determine the rights of Kansas women to abortion, but it's the mother of all political bellwethers following the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. So this will signal what kind of bump in voter participation that we'll get in the midterms because of the Dobbs decision, which
right,
is something we've been talking about. Well, maybe one of the teeny tiny slivers of silver lining in all of this is the fact that the Dobbs decision will motivate more people to get out and vote in the midterms. Democrats, liberals.
We hope, yes.
Yeah, we hope.
Well, keep in mind, the Republicans are motivated, too. That's why we can't just be kidding around here. We got to be serious about this turnout and taking people with us, bringing people who, don't normally vote, don't want to vote, get them motivated, find the issue that motivates them, whether it's the censorship of school books,
yes,
or the censorship of votes, or the ownership of women through these anti-abortion laws. There's a constitutional, the Kansas Constitution says every woman has a right to abortion, has a right to decide her own body. Those words are actually in that Kansas constitutional amendment. This ballot initiative that was put on to a primary election ballot and worded in such a way that no means yes and yes means no.
Yeah.
And you have two highly motivated sides, and nobody can guess how this is going to turn out. It's considered a very, very close vote. This begins some of the most consequential primary elections of this primary season. In the run-up to the congressional elections this fall, a lot of states are already through, but the states that remain to have their primaries are dealing with some crucial issues that will tell us, as Bob indicated, how the general election's going to go.
Yes, exactly. And let's be clear about this yes means no and no means yes thing. In case you're hearing this and you live in Kansas prior to actually casting your ballot, which I imagine is like two people, maybe, a yes vote will allow for a constitutional amendment banning abortion. So if you vote yes, you're voting to ban abortion, while a no vote will keep abortion legal in the state.
Right.
And they add here in Mediaite, a state that, in a grim twist of irony, was founded on freedom during the abolition movement, which is why it is known in many circles as, quote-unquote, the free state.
Actually, you know, and I may have misspoken on a previous show when I said Kansas has always been anti-abortion. It's a largely rural state. The cities are Kansas City, Kansas, which is smaller than Kansas City, Missouri, and Wichita. And then there are a few large towns.
Yeah, don't forget Stubville.
That's basically it.
Yes, Stubville, yeah.
Because that's where the people train stops.
Yes.
But the truth is, this was a woman's right to abortion was written into the Kansas Constitution in recent years, in our lifetimes. And this would, of course, take it out. But the other significance of this, aside from what we've already discussed, is that Kansas is a bastion, is a place for women to go, because all of the surrounding states have or are or will outlaw abortion. And people from a five-state area have been flocking to Kansas to get abortions because they're not available in their own states. If Kansas falls, then these people in a whole Midwestern region will have no place to go.
And it says here, Carville has spent a fair amount of time in that state in the past week because he recognizes the vast implications of this vote. If Kansans vote to allow conservative state legislators to institute a statewide ban on abortion, it would signal how many other red states will proceed. It would also harden the pro-life platform within the Republican Party. Of course, if the vote keeps abortion legal in the traditionally red state, that would send a massive message in the opposite direction. And, you know, I don't know where the polling lands in Kansas 50-50. In particular. It's 50-50, is it?
Really? Pretty much, yeah. It's too close to call.
Okay. Carville, it says here, is a vocal proponent of the Democratic agenda, obviously, and his recent time spent in Kansas was entirely focused on the outcome of this vote. He was unable to call his shot, but he believes it will be close.
Yeah.
He did add that a large turnout of, say, 60% from Johnson County voters...
Kansas City.
Uh-huh. Yes, would help keep abortions legal in the state. My guess is those voters represent kind of what the support for abortion rights is nationally, where yes. you've got a supermajority of people nationally who want to keep abortion legal per Roe v. Wade and Casey. So, I mean, who knows? I'm on the edge of my seat about this, because this is a gigantic thing that isn't getting a lot of attention in the television news media.
And that's one reason I wanted to sound the alarm last week on this show when I said all eyes are on Kansas. I said that a week ago today, and this is why. You understand now, everybody understands now why this is so crucial. And it really gets down to voter turnout. If you know somebody and if you have people in Kansas, and some of us do, make sure they're out voting and that they're voting to protect women's rights.
Yeah.
Because this is as Bob said and as the article said, this is a bellwether election.
Yes, and I like to think that because James Carville is out there, that there is a lot of activism focused on this, and I'm talking about activism from the pro-choice side of this. Because it's not getting a lot of it, as I said, it's not getting a lot of attention in the TV media, and I don't see a lot of conversation about it happening on political Twitter either.
It's funny what the TV media doesn't cover. I noticed they covered heavily the rise in gasoline prices, and then when gas prices dropped, no reporting at all, and then last night I turned on the news and gas prices on the rise again, you know, and I, oh God, you know, I mean, it's funny how they selectively report things sometimes.
Did you see the Steve Kornacki special last night?
I didn't. I should have, but I was sleepy. Well,
be glad that you didn't, because we had to turn it off after a couple of minutes. In fact, as soon as he brought in John Podhoretz, political prognosticator, pollster, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Kimberly just literally put her fingers in her ears and started going, la, 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 not listening, not listening, not listening. Please mute this. Please, I don't want to hear him say any of that.
La, 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 I am not listening. La, 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 la.
But I watched enough of John Podhoretz to see him doing the one thing that I hate most about what happens on cable news, is to reinforce and therefore validate all the ridiculous biases of certain voters. So he's talking about, I don't see the midterms turning around for the Democrats because, you know, regular Americans are going up to the gas pump and saying, oh my God, these gas prices. Right. And they're going to the grocery store and saying, oh my God, inflation. And they're saying, okay, well now we must punish someone and we're going to punish the Democrats for that. And while he's kind of analyzing the alleged reality of those views, he is indeed reinforcing those views, because people hear that and they say, I guess other people are saying this, so it's legitimate for me to say it too. And that's the way I'm going to vote in November, because a guy on television is validating it.
Or does it, in my case, motivate Democrats because you realize the odds that have to be overcome, and so you don't dare give up your opportunity to vote when things are looking like this. And Steve is very smart and very right about the numbers. And I think, to be fair, I think what he said is probably true, except this is not a normal year.
Yeah.
This is not a normal midterm election. Nothing about this is normal. Can I share with you something from the Washington Post? E.J. Dionne wrote some reasons to be optimistic about the midterms.
Hold that thought. It was John Podhoretz who was saying this on Steve Kornacki's show last night in that 10 o'clock hour. And the other thing about that is that, as you said, John Podhoretz is living in 1992 politics.
Yeah, right.
He's living in an outmoded form of politics that, you know, maybe even applied to 10 years ago or something like that. But I think you're absolutely right in your analysis that things are are a lot different now because of some of the circumstances on the ground, whether it's this rise of Christo-fascism in the United States, whether it's Trump, whether it's an increasingly unserious Republican Party, a destructive Republican Party, whether it's the Dobbs decision, whether it's some of these new successes of the Biden White House that we're hearing about over the past week or so.
And over Al-Qaeda as well.
Yeah, I think things are changing significantly on the ground that are kind of dating this ridiculous notion that voters, and I'm talking as someone who is really disillusioned about American voters, and even I'm not nearly as cynical as John Podhoretz with this thing where everyone's going to vote for fascism because they don't like the gas prices. And there's John Podhoretz reinforcing it and legitimizing it, validating it, which is, God, the worst thing that I think cable news has ever done, which is to behave that way.
This is kind of a third rail, but I think it's time to start talking openly about how dumb voters are. I think it's a problem we need to address.
Oh, yeah.
I was reading again this morning, 56% of American adults read at an eighth grade level or lower.
Okay.
And so that's who's voting. That's who's driving cars. That's who's raising kids. That's who's running for school board. If I may share this with you, and it's a little bit long, but not too bad, and every word is worth it. Today's primaries in Arizona, Kansas, Michigan, Missouri, and Washington are a reminder of another factor working in the Democrats' favor, especially in key Senate races. GOP voters have picked a lot of very right-wing and very vulnerable nominees because they're so right-wing. A result of the public isn't wild about Democrats, and they like the Republicans even less. The Pew survey found that 57% of Americans have an unfavorable view of the Democratic Party, but 61% have an unfavorable view of Republicans. That means many Democrats who take a critical view of Biden, often because they don't think he's fighting Republicans hard enough, are still telling pollsters they're determined to vote Democratic in the midterm elections, and the prospect of congressional breakthroughs for Biden's long-stalled program could bump up the president's numbers enough to make an electoral difference. When it comes to issues, Pew study indicates a decisive question for 22 is whether Democrats can push the campaign dialogue away from economic performance, inflation, gas prices, and toward concerns on which Republicans are at a decided disadvantage. So we should focus on the things that can lose them the election.
Yes.
And it says, yes, on economic policy, voters say they agree more with Republicans than Democrats by 40% to 33%. Still, that 7-point margin is surprisingly small given the broader economic mood. Republicans have a 5-point advantage on crime, and immigration is a wash with the GOP holding a 1-point lead. There are openings here for Democrats. Voters prefer Democrats over the GOP by 20 points on both climate policy and issues affecting LGBTQ people, by 14 points on abortion and COVID policy, by 13 points on health care and policies affecting race, and by 4 points on gun policy. 37% of Americans have an unfavorable view of Biden. 46% have a very unfavorable view of Trump. These are all openings for us. So for all the discouragement that you're hearing about what our chances are this fall, if we all just freaking vote, there are a lot of openings just outlined here.
Yeah, yeah. And I completely agree. I think where I start to lapse is the fact that so many elections are decided by 1 or 3 percentage points, either way. Right. But there are a lot of people who are still standing in the, I'm talking about liberals, who are still standing in their corner with their arms folded, feeling disaffected for some reason.
Those are the ones
who drive me nuts, because this, gimme, 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 if I don't get my student loans forgiven, I'm not going to vote, or I'm going to vote third party, is just self-destructive and dumb. I'm sorry. I'm not setting out to attack young people. I'm just saying that if you're voting on a single issue, and it's not the fact that we need to block the rise of Christo-fascism in the United States, you're doing it wrong. We need to refocus our priorities. But the good news is, and just dovetailing with what you were saying from the EJ Dionne piece, we have this wonderful news about this drone strike killing bin Laden's successor, Ayman al-Zawahiri.
This is co-planner with Osama bin Laden of the attack on 9/11.
Yes, exactly. And just to the tail end, let's do the contrast here between Donald Trump hosting a Saudi-sponsored golf event, praising the Saudis and going full 9/11 truther, while at the same time, Joe Biden is killing one of the 9/11 terrorists, Ayman
al-Zawahiri. Yeah, the number two man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And al-Zawahiri has family ties to the House of Saud. So this is one of many distinguishing factors between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, which is confounding that people are still like, well, I kind of like Trump a little more. I mean, based on the polls you were reading, I can't understand why Donald Trump is doing better in polls than Joe Biden right now.
I'm telling you, we have a chance. That's my message today.
Yes.
Because of all the things that have been happening and because of the numbers you just heard, we have a very real chance. I think the Inflation Reduction Act also helps our chances big time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what? That all connects to what's happened with this drone strike that killed Zawahiri, and it also connects to the PACT Act. Because what we're talking about now, to be clear about all of this, is that it seems like the Democrats, led by Joe Biden, are front-loading. I don't know what the other phrase you would call it, but it seems like they're front-loading a bunch of successes much closer to the midterms than we've seen in the past.
Normally, yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. And so, for example, you mentioned the Inflation Reduction Act. The Inflation Reduction Act, for example, could have been passed as Build Back Better last year.
Yes.
But would voters have forgotten about it by the time this coming up November rolled around?
Absolutely.
Yes, and I completely agree with that. It would have been lost in the memory hole. We would have.
It's no mistake that the Jan 6 committee's hearings are timing out the way they are, with more coming in September.
And it's also the reason, the fact that there are these recent successes between this drone strike, between the Inflation Reduction Act on the verge of being passed, gas prices dropping precipitously as we speak. Mm-hmm. On top of all of that, the PACT Act might actually end up getting passed due to all of the outrage surrounding the Republicans blocking.
Up to Kristen Sinema now. Yeah.
And so we haven't really seen this in the past. And I'm so glad that it's happening now, right?
Me too. I think it's very smart. And these are things that needed to be pursued anyway. This is just a good time to do it so that they are fresh in the voters' minds.
Yeah.
We continue to indict Trump and Republicans through the Jan 6 committee hearings and through the Department of Justice investigation, which the more I see, the more I like. And the more I see, the more I realize they've been on this really for quite a while.
Yep.
So I'm feeling good about that aspect of things, about the Inflation Reduction Act, about the killing of Al-Qaeda's number one man since the death of Osama bin Laden, and all the other things. And the good news about the economy, despite the grim way last week ended financially, here's what else happened last week. The Fed raised interest rates. That will slow inflation.
Yes.
Democrats can now pass this climate and health bill without Republicans, thanks to the flipping of Joe Manchin, and hopefully with the cooperation of Kyrsten Sinema. As a bonus to that, the GOP now faces voting against something called the Inflation Reduction Act, the very thing that they've been harping about. And then the bipartisan semiconductor bill, bipartisan semiconductors, that was our old job, Bob. But,
I know. I remember that.
It sounds horribly boring, but what it means is electronics and cars and solar panels being made in America, jobs for America, and industry for America, and the greater availability of solar panels to help us in the transition away from carbon fuels. And that on top of a job picture that's already amazingly good, and although consumer spending is down a little bit, it's plateaued, it's holding steady, it's not dropping any further, it's not falling off. We can expect it to drop some after we spent all our pandemic money and whatever we saved during that period of time. But as that money begins to run out, the spending levels off, and it's leveled off at a pretty good place. So the economy is looking great. We've got a lot to be optimistic about. We just have to get asses to the polls.
Yes, and to be clear about what happened on Friday with the GDP news, we're only talking about a 0.9% decline in GDP. And so as far as recessions go, especially the most recent one prior to right now, I guess technically we're in a recession right now because of two consecutive quarters of negative growth. But Janet Yellen is not really calling it a recession.
Because we have jobs.
Yeah, we have jobs. Yeah, there are other economic indicators.
It'd be a real recession if we were also missing jobs. That the, what we're using as a criteria shouldn't be and isn't, in reality, the only criteria.
Yes, and the last time we were in a recession, the decline in the GDP was catastrophic. Nowhere close to this.
Right.
But I think we all have PTSD, myself included, when it comes to that previous recession, how terrible that was. I think some people overreact to this particular thing.
Which, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Let's entertain the idea that it is a recession. It's not going to last through the next quarter. I feel relatively confident in that. Yeah.
I don't know if it'll do us any good electorally or not, but I think it's okay to say Joe Biden has kept U.S. inflation much lower than in other countries.
That is absolutely true. And so this is all great. And fuck you, John Podhoretz.
and Andrew Yang while we're at it.
Andrew Yang. Oh, my God. That
tweet. What's that about? Is that just about ego? Is he trying to kill the democracy? What's his end game here?
He's pandering to contrarians is what he's doing. He's doing this third party thing where he thinks that third parties have some sort of shot in hell at winning elections when they don't. Let's be clear about this. Every time you go to vote, one of two parties, two, are going to win that election. Every ticket on your ballot, one of two parties. It's either going to be the Republican or it's going to be the Democrat. Occasionally, there'll be an independent thrown in there somewhere. But mostly, it's Republicans or Democrats. And if you don't vote for the Democrat, that's one vote advantage for the Republicans on every race on your ballot. So you got, let's say you've got 20 races on your ballot. By not filling out your ballot for Democrats, by not participating in an election, or by voting for a third party, it's making the Republicans one vote closer to success.
And it's not just how you vote, it's how you speak. I've been admonishing people online that every criticism of a Democrat at this point is helping the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
Yes.
Shut up. And these third parties, I don't know, maybe you can address this feeling that I have, that I'm as likely, based on your experience, my experience, I'm as likely to change the mind of a third partier as I am changing the mind of a red hat. Aren't they equally entrenched?
Oh, God, yeah. If you've seen my mentions, you know that to be the case.
Right. How do we combat that? How do we combat either, you know, we've asked ourselves for the last 6 years, how do we combat the red hats? And once again, we find ourselves asking, how can we combat or change the minds of or win the hearts of third partiers?
I don't know. I don't think it's possible. I think you can try. I mean, I know, for example, my guest on tomorrow's show, Carlos Alessandri from the Stephanie Miller Show and widely acclaimed voice actor. he and I are going to talk about this extensively tomorrow because he's been off on this crusade against Jimmy Dore and some of those dirtbag liberals. I put liberals in quotes because they're not real liberals. Right. I think they're all sellouts. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. But you know, he's been trying to do that for years. And I know this because he tags me and he tags Hal Sparks in all of his tweets back to Jimmy Dore. So I'm cognizant of everything that Carlos is trying to do with regard to pushing back against Jimmy Dore and those guys. So, yeah, it's an uphill climb for sure. And it's nothing but frustration in Twitter mentions when you start to confront these people. But regarding Andrew Yang, this tweet, I believe it was yesterday, he said, "It's almost as if the media establishment benefits from separating us into warring tribes." I said, "What the fuck is that?" I said back to him, I said, "You just created a new tribe that'll guarantee the Christo-fascist tribe will win more elections. Your lack of self-awareness is staggering." And all of that is just the tip of the iceberg with this, because what he's doing is he's siphoning off those contrarian voters who might otherwise, some of them at least, might otherwise say, hold their nose and vote for a Democrat. But what he's doing is he's giving them this other option and playing into their contrarianism. And then they go and vote for Andrew Yang's party, whatever the fuck it's called. And that's one less vote for the Democrats and one vote advantage for the Republicans.
And all the, because it is impossible, seemingly, to change the mind of a red hat or to change the mind of a third party, all the more reason to get out and vote and take other people with you.
Yes.
You see where our openings are.
Mm-hmm.
You see what our disadvantages are. you see that we have our work cut out. We're down to how many days did you say till the midterm election at this point?
It is 97 days.
97 days.
Yeah.
Barely 3 months, 3 months and a week to get this done.
Yep.
And we have the issues on our side, I think, at least as outlined in that article I quoted from extensively earlier. I apologize for the length of that. But I thought everything in it was really, really encouraging because it shows that despite how grim we are told things are, be it from Steve Kornacki or someone else in the media, there are some real openings and some real advantages and some real opportunities here if only we get off our asses and vote and make sure everybody does that. There are so many people, and you know them, who are not interested in voting in this election or perhaps any other ever. You got to bring them around.
Yes.
You have got the issues on your side to bring them around, to motivate them, to get them down to the polls with you, or to mail in their ballot, as the case may be.
Yeah.
You know, I've again, vote down ballot. Look in your local paper, even their online version, and find out who they've endorsed and why. And you can read some of the background and see if they've endorsed the kind of person that you would endorse. I have done that in the Tampa Bay area, and I'm down to like one judge and the attorney general nominee on the Democratic side. I've got all my other ballot figured out and filled out and ready to mail in. As soon as I read the last research on the remaining couple of candidates, my ballot is going in, voted carefully all the way down the ballot. It's easy to do, and I encourage you to do it. It's the only way we can really wrest control, political control of this country again, starting at the local level, the state level, the grassroots level, as we've discussed before.
On the shadow docket later, we're going to talk about a CNN poll that's a little bit disturbing with regard to whether Joe Biden should run in 2024.
Okay,
and I want to be clear about how that dovetails into the midterms, because this is not just about the presidential campaign in 24.
No.
This is also about the midterms. And that's something I want to get into in more detail on the shadow docket.
In what seems like an unbelievable understatement, I said last week, I think, that you can't get to 2024 without going through 2022.
Yes.
Remember that. And that, I think, underscores the importance of this upcoming election.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to talk about that on the shadow docket. That's on our Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com. Sign up for $5 a month. More on that in a second. Meantime, we're also going to talk about the PACT Act once again and why the Republicans were for it before they were against it.
And I have a great quote from Joe Manchin that you probably haven't heard that we'll share with you then, too.
Yes, yes. And this all connects to what I believe is this Trump-influenced contempt for the troops, which is greatly ironic. Those of us who went through political blogs and who are participating in the political discourse after 9/11, we all know how ironic and horrendous this turnaround is. Based on Donald Trump's own behavior, now we're seeing it from guys like Ben Domenech and others. They're just like, fuck the troops, and it's baffling.
Especially since Trump tried to use the troops to remain in power. He made an attempt. He made changes at the Department of Defense to make it easier for him, I guess, to take political control of this country despite the outcome of the election. The same troops that the Republicans have saluted so many times in the past, calling Democrats traitors and treasonous.
Yep.
These same folks now have harmed and continue to harm the military.
Yep, yep. And there's several examples of this, and the least of which is not what happened on the Senate floor after they blocked the PACT Act. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more here in just 1 second. But first, if you're pissed off at cable news and other very serious political analysts like John Podhoretz these days, here's an outstanding way to support independent media, specifically this show, the one you're listening to right now. For just $5 per month, $5, you can support our Patreon page as we guide you through the madness and chaos of our politics. But it's not just about supporting shows like this one. You're also going to get bonus content as a reward for your monthly support. We're talking about exclusive access to the Shadow Docket Show, recorded after the end credits on our Tuesday and Thursday podcasts. You also get access to the Patreon app, where you can download the free show and our bonus content. Plus, more dings, you can join the discussion with our community of Patreon members in the comments under each episode. All that for just $5 per month, just pennies per show. So don't miss out. Again, BobSeskaShow.com. That is is the link for you to click and to memorize. Bookmark it, send it to all your friends, and we thank you in advance.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Bob Seska!
The great Seth Adam. Love this track. It's called Politician.
Press me, impress me with your big shiny, with your big shiny slick and loaded gun.
Yeah, this is from Seth's East Rock album. I think some new music around the corner from Seth. We played one track, previewed one track. I believe it was back in June. That'll be the first cut from what he's got coming up next. Looking forward to it. Again, SethAdam.com to support Seth. One of my favorites here in the show. BobSeska.com/music to submit. Please do. All right, getting back into things here on the show today, on our big Tuesday show. Thank you so much for joining us. So the Republicans, as we were saying a second ago, have entirely abandoned the troops, as far as I'm concerned. Here's one major example from, you know, Mr. Meghan McCain, Ben Domenech. Ben Domenech, who we've seen on Fox News Channel and other networks. And remember, these are the guys who were all about, they branded the notion of supporting the troops.
Right.
They were the ones who wore the yellow ribbons on their lapels and all the rest of it. And
we were the cowards and patriots. We were the cowards and traitors, and they were the patriots. Yeah, that's how they played it.
Yeah. Exactly. Hectoring anyone who was against the Iraq war.
Right.
After 9/11. And so there was this guy on Twitter, Lucas Kuntz, who is a veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And he ended up in a debate with Ben Domenech, who said
I think it's pronounced Kuntz.
Kuntz. Yeah. Did I say Kuntz? Yeah. Oh, shit.
You did.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's probably the wrong pronunciation. So you're exactly right, and I thank you for that correction. So in reaction to Kuntz.
Yes.
That's K-U-N-C-E is the guy's last name. Okay.
Right.
In reaction to that guy, Ben Domenech says to him, "I don't think we needed to pay you to travel across the world and murder brown people, Lucas. You should probably send that money back."
Ooh.
Yeah, fuck you, Ben Domenech. Yeah. That is the party of support the troops. That is the party that canceled anyone.
Oh, unless you're part of the cult, unless you're part of the Republican cult, you are the enemy, whether you're military or police or whatever.
And as I've said, I think it was Thursday's show, I've said this a couple of times recently, every time Donald Trump at one of his now paid rallies, one of his paid motivational speaking engagements, at every single one, he still does those sir stories where he mocks the troops. He mocks his generals by imitating them using a funny voice for laughs.
And making them sound subservient.
Yes.
I mean, truly, they are. The president's always the commander-in-chief, but he seems to revel in the subservience.
Yes, it's a general disrespect for the generals, and then therefore, right. by definition, the troops.
Everybody down.
Yeah. Guy walks into the Oval Office. He says, Sir, what are you doing here, sir? We need to attack this country, sir. And he does the crazy voice, and all the red hats in the audience laugh and cheer for that. He is mocking the troops. Then, with that all being context, the Republicans all vote against this, or vote to filibuster the PACT Act, which would...
Right, you remember, Trump said he was smarter than all the generals. I think he
yeah,
goes
so
back
there's that
far.
Yeah, right, yeah. right. And so with the PACT Act, which would provide mm-hmm. health care to veterans who are suffering from... myriad illnesses, including glioblastoma as a consequence of burn pits and nice. Other toxic fumes that were generated during the wars, they all vote to filibuster this thing. And it turns out that they not only lied about why they mm-hmm. were for it before they were against it.
We know why.
But they changed their votes because of the Inflation Reduction Act, because Joe Manchin screwed Mitch McConnell.
And made it possible yes. for a simple majority to pass that a very important act for the Democrats and for Biden and for the people of the United States who will benefit unbelievably for this in the fight against climate change
yep.
and the economy and health care. This is a great thing. And Republicans are all about the win, and they hate the losses. And that's why you're seeing them, you know, and this whole thing about voting against the PACT Act was revenge. It was just
yes.
revenge. It was
yeah.
simple revenge for you. You gave yourself an easy win on this. And because of that, we're going to hold up this bill that we also voted for last time it came mm-hmm. up. And, you know, it's just the childishness and the vengefulness and the all about winningness of the Republican Party.
Yes, exactly. It's raw spite. This is all about yep. not yep. giving another victory to Brandon right before right. the midterm elections.
Right.
That's why they're punishing the troops as a consequence of their political greed, of their political vengeance, of their pandering to the red hat base. And then in the wake of that, they all were captured on video. I'm talking about the Senate Republicans like Ted Cruz
floor.
And the others
yeah.
on the floor of the Senate, fist bumping their
and
little victory.
Backslapping.
Backslapping in their victory over filibustering this legislation that would have helped the veterans.
We showed them, didn't we? That was the vibe coming from that. And that's what it was really all about. And all the time leading up to that, led by Ted Cruz,
mm-hmm.
they all lied about why they voted. They said, there was some language slipped in. And, of course, that brought on the battle with Jon Stewart that Jon Stewart handily won.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see. I guess we still don't know how the vote's going to go on that. Because some Republicans immediately got back on board, and now some have fallen off again. So it's really, I don't know yet how that vote's going to turn out. I have a feeling it will pass, and by God, it needs to.
Yes, and I'm relatively confident that it could. We'll see. We'll see if it
does.
This
is Republicans voting against the troops. Never mind how they've characterized the troops. Never mind how they've insulted the military. This is how they vote on the military. Pay attention. If you're going to pay attention to what they do as opposed to what they say, one of our campaign arguments is that the Republicans voted to screw veterans.
Yep.
It doesn't get any plainer than that.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened. I don't think America's going to take to that very well, and it might benefit us at the ballot box, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah, and then the second reaction to all of this is mainly coming from Jon Stewart, but others are chiming in as well, is that, for God's sake, they're lying now about why they voted against it. They're lying about why they filibustered it. And I want to be more clear about what that vote was. It was a vote to filibuster. It was a vote to not even allow a vote on the bill. It's amazing. I mean, it's absolutely brazen of these people. After so many years of using the troops as props for their TV commercials, for their videos, for their politics, they're now like, "Oh, fuck you. We don't," you know. And the weird thing in all of this, Buzz, and you can kind of see this coming, is that the Democratic Party is not only growing into being the party of fiscal responsibility, the party that cuts the deficit, the party that's all about making sure you pay for legislation that you propose, but also the party of supporting veterans, of providing help to veterans who need that kind of help. There's nothing wrong with this. This is all positive developments for the Democratic Party and very negative for the Republican Party, which is increasingly becoming the party of freaks and weirdos, if not entirely occupied by the freaks and weirdos.
Republicans have alienated women. They've alienated blacks. They've alienated LGBTQ or LB. I'm confused. LGBTQ. They have, they've offended so many groups, and now veterans on top of that. Mm-hmm. If we can't win with that kind of messaging. Here's what Republicans were voting against, would vote against if given the chance on the Inflation Reduction Act. Prescription drug pricing. We now get to negotiate. Medicare gets to negotiate with drug companies for lower prices, just like other countries do. Increased IRS enforcement. That is getting a-holes to pay their taxes.
Tax cheats.
The corporate minimum tax. Nobody pays less than 15% going forward. Hello, Amazon. Hello, all you big companies.
Yes.
It closes a carried interest loophole. But the big thing it also does is climate change provisions that not only help us dramatically in the fight against climate change, but also provides jobs and industry for the U.S. at a time we need to reestablish that. So this is a huge, huge accomplishment. And if I may, I'd like to share with you a quote from Joe Manchin. Who was a holdout for so long on this. So Joe Manchin is meeting with various Democratic congressmen who are trying to change his mind, senators who are trying to change his mind about his vote and ultimately succeeded. And the guy who may have done the most good, Chris Coons. And he was talking to Manchin. He said, look, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but you have a pretty bad image right now.
That's an understatement.
This is your chance to fix that. Uh-huh. And Coons said more, but Joe Manchin's response was, yeah, it would be like me hitting a homer in the bottom of the ninth, wouldn't it? This, ladies and gentlemen, is what Joe Manchin was motivated about. I could be the hero, couldn't I? Mm-hmm. Wow, cool. Okay, I'm on. And that's where Joe Manchin flipped.
Yeah.
The exact quote, Coons says, I can't think of a better way for you to prove Democratic detractors wrong than to sign off on a bold climate deal. Prove every critic wrong.
Yeah.
Prove every critic wrong. And Manchin replies, it would be like hitting a homer in the bottom of the ninth, wouldn't it?
There you go.
Good Lord, people. These are your elected leaders. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess on the upside, as I was saying before, if this had passed in November of last year, it's like a year in which people would just completely forget about what happened. Because there's already a list of things that people have forgotten because of John Podhoretz's gas pump crisis. You know, it's just like, oh my God, it drives me up a fucking wall that people are so, their priorities are so scrambled and mixed up.
My takeaway from this week is that we've got a lot going for us here, despite what we're being told and despite the apparent odds and despite historical precedent. There are some real openings here. Let's freaking take advantage of it and fix this mess.
Yeah.
Got to vote.
Oh, yes, yes. And here's another reason to make sure you fully participate in elections going forward. And I'm not just talking about the presidential elections. I'm not just talking about the really sexy, high-profile national elections. I'm talking about state and local elections, more specifically, state legislature races. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about Donald Trump going full 9/11 truther. And maybe something about Ivana Trump's pathetic grave site here in just a second. But first, we'll take a short break and be back with more show right after these words.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Am I more than you
yeah, this is brand new music from Tyrae McQueen. Brand new recording artist here to the show. A song called Sugar, We're Going Down. Yeah, I love the chorus for this one.
Yeah, nice take on that song. Great cover there.
Yes, absolutely. And link in the description to support Tyrae Williams. Please do. There's some other songs in there that are equally as great. All right. BobSeska.com/music to submit, of course. All right, so getting back into things as far as the election goes, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this next thing because I think we've talked about it in the past and people know where I land on this. I believe that we need to reconfigure our priorities in terms of what elections get more attention. And I'm not saying to ignore the White House. I'm not saying to ignore presidential elections or Senate or House elections either. I'm just talking about prioritizing in a greater way state legislature races because, well, for one, the worst shit in our politics is happening at the state level.
30 of our 50 state legislatures are controlled by Republicans. This greatly influences the policy of the nation. You see what's happening with the abortion laws right now and the bans against them. When 30 of our 50 states are controlled by Republicans, that's what you're going to get. And I take it down to an even lower level. Those judges are important. Those county council members and city council members and mayors are important. But your local election officials, there are some very, very important races down ballot that if you can see from the news over the last summer, over the last year, this affects our kids' educations and the environment in which they go to school in terms of gun safety and book censorship and the suppression of the LGBTQ community. This is what's affecting your life on the local level are these local politics. So, yes, the state legislatures, Democrats must re-wrest control of those. And that's going to be a big job with them holding 30 of the 50 states and making the rules. And then we have to wrest control back of our school boards and other local and election offices where newly elected or soon to be elected individuals will have the ability to overturn election results.
Yes, exactly. And there's one other thing that is increasingly disturbing as Republicans seem to win more and more at the state level. And that is the notion of a constitutional convention being called by conservatives, by Trump people, by the aforementioned freaks and weirdos.
I've heard of this.
Right. So if 34 state legislatures vote in favor of having a constitutional convention where they all get together, they propose constitutional amendments and then ratify them, it can happen. Right now, 19 state legislatures have approved of that notion. Five more state legislatures have made progress in that direction. As we speak right now, the Republicans have 23 state trifectas. 23. Mm-hmm. That's where they control both chambers of the state legislature and the governor's mansion. While Democrats have only 14. And 13 state governments are divided between Republicans and Democrats in some version of,
Kansas, where the abortion vote is taking place, has a Democratic governor, but she cannot veto a supermajority that is held by the Republicans in both houses of that state's Congress. So, again, you see how important these local races are from state representative on down.
So, 23 state trifectas held by Republicans. 34 needed to have a constitutional convention. So they're not that far away. And given the fact that 13 states have divided leadership at the state level, if the Republicans get back 10 of those 13, that's it, or whatever it is. Yeah, 12,
four. They only 11. They only need four. If you say they have,
well, no, they have 23, and so they need 30. They need 34 to vote for the convention.
I was still on the they control 30 state legislatures.
Well, I guess that may be the case, but they maybe don't have the governor's mansion in those states cases.
Right.
So it's actually 23 trifectas where they control the entire state government. According to Business Insider, Rob Nadelson, a constitutional scholar and senior fellow at the Independence Institute who closely studies Article 5 of the Constitution, predicted to Insider there's a 50% chance that the United States will witness a constitutional convention in the next 5 years. 5 years.
Yeah.
Whether it happens, he said, is highly dependent on Republican success winning state legislatures during the 2022 midterms.
It also hinges on the Democratic turnout.
Yes.
That only Democrats can stop this, and only if they vote.
Got to pay attention to the state legislature races and discuss it. I wish something like that, I wish a discussion about that sort of thing would get more reach on social media. It just doesn't. If you post about your state legislator or a close race or how your state legislature might be on the brink of getting a Democratic majority or whatever, it's just not going to get any traffic on social media. So consequently, people don't tweet about it. They don't post about it on Facebook, et cetera. It just doesn't happen. And that's not good. More attention needs to be paid to this. And why is that? Well, among many things that would get proposed at one of these constitutional conventions are most likely this list of what are called liberty amendments composed by Mark Levin, by talking adenoid Mark Levin. And the nefarious thing about this is it really starts out with a bunch of things that most regular people would probably support. Like number one, there's 11 of them. Number one, impose congressional term limits. Number two, repeal the 17th Amendment, returning the election of senators to state legislatures. Well, that one is very controversial. Number three, impose term limits for Supreme Court justices and restrict judicial review. Number four, require a balanced budget and limit federal spending and taxation. That would get huge support. Define a deadline to file taxes, subject federal departments and bureaucratic regulations to periodic reauthorization and review. Create a more specific definition of the Commerce Clause. Now, here's where it starts to get sketchy. Allow states to more easily amend the Constitution by bypassing Congress.
Oh, dear.
Okay, that's, I think, the second of really dangerous ones next to the eliminating the 17th Amendment. The next one is, this is number 10, create a process where two-thirds of the states can nullify federal laws. That's pretty awful. Yeah, number 11, require photo ID to vote and limit early voting. So those are the 11 liberty amendments by Mark Levin.
You know, you cited a point in the list, and I'm sure you're correct, where the proposals got even more severe.
Yeah.
But I was seeing red flags even before you got to that point. This whole thing from top to bottom is frightening. And again, there's only one way to stop it, and you know what that is.
Oh, yes, yes. So I think partly the reason why the Republicans have this level of power is gerrymandering. That's for sure, because state legislator
and voter suppression
are,
and all the other dirty tricks and cheating that they are prone to.
Yeah, state-level districts are gerrymandered to an extent.
So that locks
in a certain number of Republican state legislators. But at the same time, there are many that are competitive that we need to spend a lot more time focusing on. I'm just saying, look up your state legislator. I'll put a link in the description to do that.
Good.
We go and put in your address and find out who your state legislators are, your state delegates, your state senators, and so on. And so you know at least their names. I mean, that's a good starting point, because I think a lot of us who are sitting in the corner with our arms folded, disaffected about Joe Biden not giving us a pony, don't know who the fuck our state legislators are. And that's a problem. Right. Because I think if they did, I think if they focused on maybe what their state government is doing and not doing for them.
Right. You see how much our lives now are being shaped by, that's how we got minority rule in this country, where Republicans are making the rules on education and abortion and everything else. How did we get here? By letting them win those down ballot races.
That's right.
And that's why it's important for us to wake the frig up and start voting down ballot.
Yes, indeed. So, meantime, Donald Trump went full 9/11 truther. Why? Because he needs Saudi money to survive. This whole myth of him being a billionaire is horse shit. His entire empire is held together with Scotch tape and Saudi money, Russian money. Obviously. And so he was asked during this ridiculous Saudi-sponsored golf tournament over the weekend. He was asked about it and just was kissing Saudi ass. Unfucking believable. But in the process of that, trying to exonerate the fact that most of the 9/11 terrorists were Saudis by saying, well, we don't know what the fuck happened on 9/11.
Yeah, nobody knows what happened.
Yeah,
we need to get to the bottom of it, he says.
Here's sweaty, bloated, inflamed Trump at his Bedminster Golf Club.
Well, nobody's gotten to the bottom of 9/11, unfortunately, and they should have, as to the maniacs that did that horrible thing to our city. To
nobody's gotten to the bottom of it except the 9/11 commission and, you know, all the prosecutions that took place of the masterminds behind it, et cetera.
With this latest killing of Zawahiri, with this latest killing, the U.S. has now captured and or killed everyone who was involved in the 9/11 attacks.
Yep.
Joe Biden put the finishing nail in that coffin yesterday with his announcement.
Listen to him praise the Saudis, the people who tortured and murdered an American journalist. This is just kissing ass. He needs their money.
Country to the world. So nobody's really been there. But I can tell you that... there are a lot of really great people that are out here today, and we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to celebrate, and money's going to charity. A lot of money's going to charity. And you have really the best players in the world, many of the best players in the world, and soon you'll probably have all of them, because remember this, if there's a merger, the people that didn't come, they will never get anything except a thank you from people that took advantage of them. I've known these people for a long time.
Saudis. I've known these people a long time. Yeah. Saudis.
Saudi Arabia, and they've been friends of mine for a long time. Yeah. They've invested in many American companies. They own big percentages of many, many American companies. And frankly, what they're doing for golf is so great. What they're doing for the players is so great. The salaries are going to go way up. The PGA was not loved by a lot of the players, as you know, for a long time. Now they have an alternative, and nobody would have ever known there was going to be a gold rush like this.
Ah, fuck off. Yeah, that was Trump the other day at his golf course, his golf club.
I got to say, I was very pleased, and my opinion of Tiger Woods notched up a bit when I heard today that he turned down $750 million.
Wow.
$750 million. To play in that golf tournament, and he turned it down.
Good for him.
You know, man, that's ethics. You know, first of all, he doesn't need the money, but secondly, I mean, it's nice that he was at least in a position that he could say no to that, unlike, say, Greg Norman.
Yes, and I'm sure you saw, you had a joke about it in your monologue, but Ivana Trump buried on the golf course.
Right.
Because nothing says we honor our mother than having her buried in the middle of the golf course.
She gets buried near the first tee, and I think that means Marla Maples goes next to the second tee, and then Melania by the third tee.
Yeah. So basically, they've turned their graves into fairway hazards. That's what these things are. If not, every feral cat in all of Bedminster is going to be using the dirt in the grave as a litter box.
Ivana's plaque is so slim, you're not going to trip over it. You know, so it's really, really not a hazard at all. It's just playing through.
Oh, yeah. And it turns out, after some research, this woman on Twitter, as Blue Check, Brooke Harrington, discovered that, oh, my God, there's a tax break for that.
Three, actually.
Yeah, there's several tax breaks. So if you register as a cemetery, that relieves you of the payment of real property taxes on lands dedicated to cemetery purposes, income taxes, sales, and use taxes.
There you go. They're the three.
And all you need is one grave to register as a cemetery company.
He's got room for 10. I don't know who else he may have in mind, but... and who doesn't want to be buried in a golf course in New Jersey? I just can't think of a better way to end your life than that.
Nothing screams, I'm a billionaire. Like,
so he did it so he didn't have to pay taxes. Right, Donald Trump is now the Undertaker.
Cheap bastard. Oh, you know what? Speaking of cheap bastards, I want to get this in before we wrap up the show.
Okay.
Mentioned this on Friday's After Party. I'm going to repeat it again for the free show listeners. By the way, if you want to hear the After Party, $10 a month. You also get the Shadow Docket on our Patreon page. So you get the Shadow Docket After Party, all for $10 a month, BobSuskaShow.com.
It's risque.
Yeah. Well, we have some good news from Louis DeJoy's United States Postal Service.
Oh, good.
This is actually kind of amazing. And I was shocked to see that Louis DeJoy was, involved in this somehow. I can only imagine that this wasn't Louis DeJoy's idea, that someone else came up with the idea, and he's like, oh, fuck it, I'm going to get overruled anyway, so fine. The U.S. Postal Service has created a new dedicated division to handle election mail. The Election and Government Mail Service is part of an effort to effectively deliver mail-in ballots to voters and election offices in advance of the 2022 midterms. I think that's good news. I think that's great news.
And it also should be used to deliver vaccines. Not vaccines, but masks and tests and those kinds of things. Public health things that are important coming from the government to the people. It just disturbs me that such an agency exists under Louis DeJoy, who I still believe did what he could to try to screw up the 2020 election.
And by the way, you mentioned vaccines. I don't want Louis DeJoy delivering my vaccines. So, I'm glad you clarified that, because Louis DeJoy coming at you with a syringe, not the scenario I want to be in. That's like a torture scene from The Sopranos or something like that. Or
I used to get this zombie movie. It's a small thing, but I used to get an email every morning about 7 a.m. With photographs of the pieces of mail that I would be receiving that day. It's kind of cool. You get a little preview of what you get in the mail.
Oh, wow.
Now it comes at like 3 p.m., sometimes after the mail has already been delivered. That's just part of the Louis DeJoy post office.
Thank you, Louis DeJoy. And by thank you, we mean something else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so... coming up on the Shadow Nugget, which is happening on our Patreon page. Well, I mean, if it's after we're done with the show, you're going to get it instantaneously. In fact, you could stop the show right now and go listen to the Shadow Nugget if you're signed up at our Patreon page, bobsuskashow.com. We're going to talk about Better Call Saul.
Okay, good. And why Buzz is confused.
Why Buzz is confused about Better Call Saul. We're going to get into that on the Shadow Nugget. Also, Donald Trump has endorsed Eric for Senate in Missouri.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that. It's a little confusing. I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, yeah. Plus a blast from our climate crisis past.
Ooh.
And something about that CNN poll about Democratic voters turning their backs on Joe Biden for 24. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that. Yeah, plus maybe some good news for COVID-19 boosters coming up.
Please.
Yeah, yeah. So that and a whole lot more coming up on the Shadow Docket podcast, which happens on our Patreon page, bobsuskashow.com, or patreon.com/bobsuskashow. Or if all that's too hard to memorize, just go to bobsuska.com. Just beneath the logo, you'll see big capital letters that say Patreon. Click that link. And it'll take you to our Patreon page. And then there are several options for how you can sign up to support the show. You'll see the first three options right there on your screen. $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month. You get all kinds of bonus content in exchange for the $5 and $10 tiers. And then there's another tier, the $15 tier, that's hidden behind a show more tiers button, which is frustrating, but it's there. So you can also sign up at $15 a month, get to the ultimate edition of the podcast. That's the Shadow Docket after party, and plus we take out all the commercials from the show. $15 a month. You get everything we have to offer for that ultimate edition of the
But there program. there is a sex quiz.
See you on the Shadow Docket. Bye-bye.